for the sermon. So now for that, bless Mr. Wilkie and Mr. Elmer Wilkie.
Well, good afternoon, brethren. We're actually south of Denver, so we're not too bad. We're about the same distance to drive down here as we are to the Denver church. Just kind of looking around to see if I see anybody that might have heard this sermon before. I don't think so. You would have had to attend in Loveland or Denver. So I don't think so. And if you are hearing it again, it means God wants you to hear it the second time. Okay, well, when we go to a doctor's office, we get stuck in a waiting room. Sometimes for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, sometimes even an hour and a half to 2 hours. Dr. Suckling, take note of this. Everything stands still. It's a place where life is put on hold. Even though maybe 10 or 15 minutes pass by, it seems like hours, doesn't it? Finally, the nurse will come in, calls your name, you go in, checks your weight, that's usually a shocker, checks your blood pressure, asks a few questions, and says the doctor will be in shortly. Well, here again, the waiting starts. One time I waited 20 to 30 minutes just for the doctor to come in. Actually, one time I think it was more like an hour. Life does offer us a lot of waiting, doesn't it? Most people don't enjoy it. I sure don't enjoy it. One of the important exhortations of the Bible is the call, wait on the Lord. Even though God promises many blessings for waiting, waiting is difficult. We tend to take matters into our own hands. Yet, over and over again, we are told in Scripture, wait on the Lord. Society has been accustomed to immediate gratification. We have instant communication, the telephone, like instant coffee. We have everything instant, fast internet, fast foods, microwaves, airplanes, so we can go real fast from one place to another, fast computers, the iPhone, and so on. All those things cut down the waiting time. But in spite of fast technology, waiting is still a big part of our life. Like I mentioned, in the waiting rooms. That's why they're called a waiting room, because we wait. The supermarket. We wait at the supermarket in a line. Rush hour traffic. We wait there too, don't we? Like I say, waiting is a big part of our lives. Maybe the job situation isn't the best, so we're waiting for a change of jobs. Maybe you're without a job and you're waiting for a new job. Again, you're waiting. Maybe you're ill and you're waiting for health to improve. Maybe you are on a diet or waiting to drop a few pounds. That tends to be a long wait. Single persons waiting to meet the right person to marry. We've all gone through that. Then you have the mother waiting for the birth of a child. And you could go on and on. There's a lot of waiting that we do. Life is full of waiting. Scripture tells us to wait, despite our impatience or dislike for it. Now, the key questions we might ask regarding waiting on God are, what does it mean to wait? How are we to wait? Who and what are we waiting for? Why should we wait? How long do we wait? What are the results of waiting? And you could add many more questions to that. There are several words in the Old Testament, found at least four, that are used for weight. I'm not going to go through them all, but barely they mean the same kind of thing. It means to look patiently, tarry or wait, hope, expect, look eagerly, be still, grow silent, long for. And there's three or four words in the New Testament too that mean to expect, to look for, wait for, to await, expect eagerly, wait up. All those meanings for wait. So today what I want to do, I want to discuss what waiting on God really means. I mentioned all the different kinds of waiting, but I want to focus on waiting on God. Turn with me to Psalm 27. I'm going to read two scriptures here first. Psalm 27. First, it mentions in verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path." So we want him to teach us. Teach us about all kinds of stuff. Including in verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord." So there you have it. We're told to wait on the Lord. "Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So here we are told to wait on the Lord, or wait for God, whatever way you want to put it. And a couple chapters back in Psalm 25, 4 and 5, it says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths," kind of starting the same way. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." It says, "On you I wait all the day." Again, we're exhorted to wait. Learn as much as we can from God as he teaches us. But it requires waiting. And sometimes it means waiting a long time or as long as it takes. So he wants us to wait. And God is the God of our salvation. We relate to God by trusting him and waiting patiently for him, don't we? If necessary, we wait all day long, or sometimes it could be for years, years and years. We wait. We just read twice in the Psalms where we are told to wait on the Lord. Now, King David, he had to wait for years, and he exercised an enormous amount of patience for God to deliver him from his enemies, including both King Saul and his own son, Absalom, both of whom wanted to kill him. But he was willing to wait on God. David said in Psalm 40, let's turn a few pages over, and this is from David, says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry." God heard him. He waited for God. It is the key, really, to learning God's ways. We need to wait. It takes time. Now, an individual I know stated, he says, "I can't sit back and idly wait for God." That is, wait for God to work out a situation that he was concerned about. So he took matters into his own hands. You know, God does not look favorably at that, does he? Don't we do that sometimes? We wait for a while, "Oh, I can't wait any longer. Just do our own thing." And we're sorry about it later. God doesn't look favorably at that. He wants us to wait. He wants us to be patient and allow him to work things out under his perfect timing. Have you ever heard the quote that says, "God is seldom early, but never late"? Just think about that. He's seldom early, but never late. Other examples in the Bible of people waiting for God is Noah. It took 120 years to build the ark. Anybody had to wait for God to work all the details out, even getting the animals into the ark and so on. Moses was another one that waited. He waited a long time for God to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. It took a lot of different plagues, but he had to still wait. Paul and Silas, they were thrown into prison, shackles around their hands and their feet. In spite of that, they still praised God. But they waited. And finally, all those shackles did fall off. And you know the story. But they had to wait. And of course, we have the ultimate example of Jesus Christ, who waited. He waited through terrible, terrible suffering and torture. Crucifixion. He was really hoping that it would end soon, because it had to be just a horrible, horrible experience that he went through. But he waited. He knew that the Father would deliver him. And he did. Then I can give you another example of a person in the Old Testament that was not willing to wait. It's an example that everybody knows quite well, Abraham. This is a tragic example of catastrophic consequences that actually happened when someone was trying to help God answer their prayers. Abraham and Sarah come to the end of their physical strength. Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90. And it was way past childbearing years. But God had promised Abraham a son, an heir, didn't he? However, Abraham failed to wait for God. Neither were prepared to wait for God. So with Sarah's suggestion and consent, Abraham went ahead and went into Sarah's maid Hagar and had Ishmael. The Lord said Ishmael would be a wild donkey of a man. His hand would be against every man and every man's hands against him. And he would live in hostility to the east and on the borders of all his kinsmen. You can read that in Genesis 16, 11 and 12. The situation caused contention between Abraham and Sarah, caused contention between Hagar and Sarah. It caused terrible ordeals between Hagar and Ishmael, and contention between Ishmael and Isaac. None of this would have happened if Abraham would have waited on God and Ishmael never been born. But Abraham and Sarah didn't wait, did they? All Abraham's descendants have paid for it ever since. Now, in spite of his mistakes, Abraham is the father of the faithful. And he would have a heir, Isaac, and he did. And through that heir, all nations would be blessed. But Abraham did take the wrong road, didn't he? And it caused misery. Just because he didn't want to wait on God. So I'll ask you, what is involved in waiting on the Lord? What is involved? I'll give you several different things. First of all, it necessitates the passage of time. Time is required. Turn to Psalm 130. Like I said earlier, it may be a day, it may be years, maybe a long time, but it necessitates the passage of time. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, says here, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Now what is involved in here is time. To pass by from night till morning. It's a period of waiting. When we go to bed at night, we're waiting for the sun to come up, aren't we? Waiting for the sun to come up and to start warming things up outside. But time is required. Time is required for that. We know that dawn is coming. It's a certain thing. But not without a passage of time. It takes time. Another thing that is involved in waiting for God, on God, is confident expectation. Kind of read that already. It says, wait and hope are tied together. Wait and hope are tied together. When you wait for an inheritance that you have been promised, you expect and hope the laws of the land will make it available to you, don't you? You expect and you hope that the laws of the land will make it available to you. When you wait to hear whether or not you have been accepted on a job that you've applied for, not only are you hoping to get the job, but you're hoping that your credentials and qualifications are sufficient or accepted. Again, you have expectation and you have hope. Read 130, 5 and 6 again. It says, wait on the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch in the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Again, waiting involves expectation. You're expecting that the morning will come. Or you're expecting something special, depending on what you're waiting for. Waiting means anticipation, expectation, confident hope. Just like I mentioned, the waiting for the sun to rise, provide light and warmth. So it means confident expectation as well. Waiting also involves knowledge and trust. Without knowledge and trust, we simply wouldn't wait. The emphasis of the Bible is that our waiting involves waiting for the Lord and his loving kindness. And we know what his loving kindness is by studying about it, having knowledge about it. Many passages deal with waiting for God. God as a person being waited for as well. Based on knowing about him, knowing his wisdom, his love, his principles, trusting his promises, his purposes and power in our lives. Turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 1, it says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. We know that our salvation comes from God, and we are waiting for that. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. We know that. He's our rock. He's our salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like leaning on a wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. It's the way of man. But it says, My soul, wait silently for God alone. Wait on Him. For my expectation is from Him. It's from God. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. It says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Hello. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighted on scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. In other words, nothing. Do you trust in opposition or vainly hope in robbery if riches increase? Do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. So, brethren, the Bible is emphasizing us waiting on Him, trusting in Him, realizing that He is our rock. He's very powerful, and we can rely on Him. That's why we need as much knowledge as possible and trust to really know God and rely on Him and wait for Him. Waiting involves negatives and positives. There are things we should do and things that we should not do. We should do the right things as defined in Scriptures and refrain from the wrong things according to Scripture. Turn to another psalm, Psalm 37. Notice in verse 7 to 9, first of all, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Again, here we're emphasizing waiting for God. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And these are the things you refrain from or get away from. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, get away from those negative things and concentrate on the positive. And going to verse 1, the same chapter says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut off or cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, God will take care of them. God will take care of all that evil, that negative stuff. But instead, focus on the positives. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, for He shall give you the desires of your heart. Those are promises, brethren. That's what He will do. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday. Again, focusing on the positive. Talk a little bit more about this a little bit later again. The fifth thing to do is to waiting always means seeking God. That is, spend time in the Word studying, seeking for answers, claiming God's promises. One time I gave a sermon on God's promises, and the Bible is just full of promises. I couldn't cover it all, or I'd have several thousand scriptures. But it's full of God's promises. Well, you can claim those promises. If He promised something, He will carry it out. Spend time in praying about issues, praying for wisdom and discernment. I know every day I ask that God will really give the council members and the administration godly wisdom and understanding. Mr. Kubik had asked us to pray about that. And I believe those prayers are really being answered. And some of the decisions they're making, it's very wise. But we all need that in our own personal lives. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Spend time meditating on who God is, what He wants us to do through us or by us. Include a self-examination. Now, what better time of year to do this right now before Passover? Include a self-examination and evaluate our own attitudes, our priorities and goals in life. Something to think about. Do we have our priorities right? Do we always put God first in our lives? It's very easy not to. Just ask me. It's very easy not to. But we have to. It's all part of seeking the Lord, seeking God. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." Interesting scripture. He's good to those. He's good to you and I. We seek, we wait for Him and seek Him. Another point is to take the action at the right time. In other words, God's timing. Talked a little bit about it already. Look to God's timing, not doing our own thing. Again, I'm just quoting this one now. Don't have to write it down. You don't have to turn to it. But Psalm 145 verse 15 says, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you," referring to God, "and you," that's God, "gave them their food in due season." That means in His timing. According to His best timing. Galatians 6:9 also says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, while doing good. For in due season," that's in God's time again, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We do it according to God's timing, not our own. We don't want to push our will on God, but we want God's will to be done, don't we? That's why it is so important for us to wait on God. God's timing is always right. Sometimes we may have to wait a long time, but it's entirely up to God. Like I said, maybe a day, maybe 2 days, maybe a week, maybe years. We have to wait for Him. In Hebrews 11, you can read about Abel waiting on God and still waiting. Enoch is waiting right now. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, and many, many more. They're still waiting for their change to come to inherit eternal life. They're in their graves. They're waiting. Turn to Hebrews 11. Verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith," and they did, "not having received the promises." They haven't received them yet. "But having seen them afar off, were assured of them." They had the confidence, the expectation, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. No, they haven't received those promises, but they're waiting. Verse 16, it says, "Now they desire a better," that is, a heavenly country. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Again, all these people, our loved ones who have died in the faith too, they're waiting in their graves according to God's timing. So whether we are dead or alive, we're still waiting, aren't we? We really are. I say we wait according to God's timing, we should always take the right action. There are certain negatives, and I talked a little bit about this already, but these are negatives that we have to be careful to avoid. We have to refuse to retaliate or take revenge. So often we get tired of waiting for something to work out, so we'll take matters in our own hands, so we retaliate, take revenge. We have to refuse to pass judgment. It's very easy to say, oh, this person did that, and I'm tired of waiting, I'm going to do this against that individual. We're making a judgment that could be wrong. Sometimes we have to refuse to go through a quick divorce or a fast marriage. Some people are very, very fast. Like they say, in Las Vegas, you can go on one side of the street to get married, and the following day you can go on the other side and get a divorce. It's pretty quick. Sometimes we refuse to change jobs without seeking proper counseling and seeking God's will. Again, time is required for that. Prayer, a lot of counsel when you want to change a job. Make sure that you're doing the right thing. Refuse to manipulate others because we don't want to wait on God. We want change and we want it now. Isn't that the way it is? We want it right now. Like that license plate I saw, God, give me patience and give it me right now. We don't want things fast. We should refuse to fret over the prosperity of others. A lot of times jealousy, resentment, anger, gossip, revenge tactics could enter. Don't be jealous of other people that maybe have more than you do. So these are just some of negative tendencies that we can have. And sometimes they enter our minds, and as a result, we make wrong choices. We have to avoid those. Instead of doing those things, concentrate on positive things. Get on our knees. Pray about it. Ask God with strength and courage to help you. That's what we need, strength and courage. We need hope. We need to be patient. We need to be obedient to what God tells us in His Word, always desiring God and His ways. Have confident expectation, believing His Word. His Word is truth. And we should believe it and apply it to our lives. When God says something, He's going to carry it out. Yes, we may have to wait. Do things quietly. Do things always and continually. Also, do it eagerly. Wait eagerly. Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8. Notice in verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The creation, we're all waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 23 says, "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit," which is you and I, "even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And we're eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So that's how we wait. Eagerly, prayerfully, patiently, obediently. And on it goes that you just went through. Now what are the results? What results are produced by actually waiting for God? Well, we are acknowledging God in a very special way and are giving Him the rightful place in our lives. Like I said earlier, putting God first. The waiting produces patience and endurance. It deepens our faith and reliance on Him. It builds and solidifies our personal relationships with the Father and Jesus Christ. Waiting demonstrates our dependence on God for everything. Waiting allows God to show us His mercy and compassion as we go through trials and tests. He allows us to do that. Isaiah 30:18 says, "Blessed are all those who wait for Him." So we will be blessed, brethren, if we wait. And some of the blessings we receive is like peace of mind, serenity, humility, meekness, gentleness in our own personal lives. Helps us to be steadfast and gain spiritual maturity. Yes, we will be blessed if we wait for God. I don't know if any of you have ever did a study on waiting, but this is the first time I have, and it's amazing what you find. God really does emphasize it. Of course, the ultimate goal we are waiting for is the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, isn't it? I don't know of anybody in here that isn't waiting for that. We are really looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. All of God's people are waiting for that. We want Him to come as soon as possible. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. It says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven." That's who we're waiting for. "Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Aren't we really waiting for Jesus Christ? And He will return in His timing, not in our timing. So many people are setting dates. Should be returning here, now, again, last year, the year before, sometime this year. It's according to God's timing. And He doesn't tell us exactly when. But He says, just wait. And we are looking forward to ruling with Him, aren't we? In His kingdom, on this earth, as kings and priests. Something we are really looking forward to. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, it says here, watch, 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." And we don't. And verse 44, it says, "Therefore also be ready." That's for us. "For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Again, we are looking forward to that time. He is coming. We have to wait. Right now, like I say, we are anxiously waiting with full confidence of His return. Revelation 2:25 says, "Hold fast to what you have until I come." Hold on to what you have until I come. Yes, and there will be a crown of righteousness awaiting each of us at Christ's return. Paul recognized that. We can receive that crown of righteousness. Paul was looking for it. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. verse 7, it says, I have fought the good fight. And you know, hopefully we all can say that. I have finished a race. I have kept the faith. Maybe you could just fill in there, I have faithfully waited. In verse 8 it says, finally there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. It's the day of Christ's return. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So brethren, just like Paul, we too can receive that crown of righteousness if we wait. There are many, many people in their graves that are waiting to receive that crown. Be raised from the dead and receive that crown of righteousness and live forever. But have you ever wondered or noticed too that the Father and Jesus Christ are also waiting? They are waiting for you and for me to be ready so that they can share their kingdom and eternal life with all of us.